Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Eternity's S.A. conference call about the fourth quarter of 2017 earnings results. We have Mr. Luiz Augusto Barcelos Barbosa, Eternity's CEO, and Mr. Rodrigo Luz, Eternity's Chief Financial Officer and Investor Relations Officer with us today. This conference call is being recorded. All participants are in a listen-only mode, and we'll have a Q&A shortly. Instructions will be given. If you need help, please press star zero. This conference call is being broadcast live at www.eternity.com.br/ir. A slide presentation and the earnings release are also available for download. Forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. These forecasts and comments depend on macroeconomic conditions domestically and abroad, market risks, and other factors. I now turn over to Mr. Rodrigo Luz, Eternity's CFO and IRO of Eternity. You now have the floor, Mr. Rodrigo Luz.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending this teleconference. Let me start with slide number three. These are the highlights. Unlike previous conferences, we're going to combine highlights of Q4 and more recent highlights. As to the company activities, operations of concrete tiles, minings, and bathroom China are in alignment with market demands. We haven't generated large inventories, but we have been focusing on cash flow. We have two major highlights, an expansion of 70% of asbestos exports, again, in alignment with the company's strategy to focus our production for exports, given the prohibition of asbestos domestically. Concrete tiles are also on the rise, again, in accordance with the strategy of the company to operate with more profitable units, such as in Atibaia. In February 2017, the company shut down the operations of four plants, and we started operating with the unit of Atibaia. Therefore, you have that 21% growth. Another highlight of the fourth quarter was the free cash flow generation. We reduced our net debt by 41% for the entire group. In 2017, our net debt was 68.7 million reais. In Q4, given the economic scenario, we had to record a loss of assets that could not be recovered. That would include fiber, cement. Given the uncertainty will be able to operate that mine and to produce concrete tiles that amounted to 143.7 million reals. And the goodwill was still reported in the books after the acquisition of Samia back in 1997. And that write-off took place now, given these principles I have just mentioned. This is an accounting adjustment. There's no cash flow impact. As soon as the economy picks up, and once we conclude the restructuring process, this amount can be reverted. So that impacted the company's bottom line substantially. As of December 2017, we had the reorganization request and its approval that took place. So there is a slide to discuss the reorganization per se. The court supervised reorganization is one of the alternatives of this restructuring that actually started last year. And within this court-supervised reorganization, we also had the chance to purchase the company in CSC. It purchased the 40% that belonged to Corona. So we have the complete market of Bathroom China. And past Friday, the day we announced Q4 results, we had our General Assembly, and we have elected the board member directors, and also for a one-year term, the Fiscal Council members. On slide number 4 now, let me now talk about the operation. Sales in Q4 for Chrysotile amounted to 16.4. When we compare that to the, when you have year on year, we have a 5% reduction, given the fact that we're not using asbestos domestically. In order to offset that loss, the company has focused on redirecting that production to exports. Exports on Q4 of 16 was 19.9, and then 2017 was 24.4, and Q4 2017, 32.1. And when you compare throughout the year, the total sales amount to 144 million, a 21.3% drop due mainly to the economic downturn domestic. In fiber cement sales, slide number 5 now, 153,800 tons, a drop when compared to the previous quarter. When you compare that to Q4 2016, it's a 20% and 17% drop for the year. The main reasons behind that drop, despite the entire industry performance, in late November, we had a Supreme Court decision forbidding asbestos in Brazil. Then, the decision hadn't been published on that day, so we were forced to migrate the entire operation all of a sudden. Just a week before that decision, the company had already announced that it wouldn't use asbestos in the fiber cement tiles. Because we were considering doing away with the use of that raw material in the fiber cement tiles in an organized fashion. So we decided to start producing fiber cement tiles with synthetic fibers. So we had to shut down the Anápolis unit. That's the unit that hasn't been adapted to this new production yet. So the volume for the entire quarter was smaller than the previous one. And that's the reason behind that drop. The industry has filed an appeal, the Supreme Court, and a justice allowed the production chain or the industry to use that raw material up until that decision is actually published. So we are using it in Goiás and at the mine once the decision is published. Appeals will be discussed to define the verdict of that appeal, so that we can shut down the mine according to the current regulations we have in place. On slide 6, concrete tiles now. As I said in the highlights, we had an increased volume in Atibaia from 3.7 to 4.5 when you take into account the entire business volume, including the units that were shut down when compared to their production last year. We no longer have the production from those units. That's why we have that reduction when compared to last year's results. But when you look at Atibaia alone, we had 3.7 and now 4.5 in Q4 2017. For the year, we had stable volume at 17 million pieces. We're now operating centrally with Atibaia only. But this business has begun to show some improvement with the uptake of the economic activity. These results will appear in the midterm and long-term range. We have to have architects to be approved and to recommend these B2C, because these are consumers that are from the upper echelon of society. Moving on to the consolidated net revenue now on slide 7. 164.7 million, 126 domestically, and 38.7 from exports. When you compare that total sales of the previous quarter, there's a 13% reduction. Based on domestic 136 and 162. And by not selling asbestos domestically. We are resorting to tiles. That retraction was not bigger because the company managed to recover to a certain extent its position or its price position in the marketplace. But the volume decrease ended up offsetting. And for exports, 28 compared to 38.7. Given the fact that we're selling more asbestos abroad, even an average decrease of 1.5%. For the year, 666, a 19.5% reduction when compared to 2016. Mostly because of the economic downturn domestically. On slide 8 now, gross margin, just like in previous quarters, we're now reporting recurring because we extract non-recurring items. And for gross margin, idle time, non-programmed to balance supply and demand, actually, so that we couldn't incur in working capital costs. We had an occasional breakdown, and we wrote off obsolete items. So that's why I have 22% of gross margin in Q4. When we compare that margin to other quarters from other years, we had a smaller margin because there's no profitability domestically because asbestos was sold in the domestic market before. That's why we have that retraction. When the cost breakdown is practically stable when we compare these numbers to those of previous quarters. In fiber cement, it's labor, just like concrete tiles, and in mining, labor and materials are the most important elements. Moving on to slide 9, that's the EBITDA. These are truly operational assets. The adjusted and recurring EBITDA was negative $3 million in the previous quarter. Despite being negative, we had to provision about $10 million. But there was no cash effect. But these are recurring items. And we had to provision them following all the financial books guidelines. Without that provisioning, EBITDA would have been positive by $7 million. When you look at the recurring adjusted EBITDA for 2017, despite all the costs and the restructuring, the company has a $43.7 million positive EBITDA, smaller than that of 2016, but it's mostly based on less profitability domestically, despite all the efforts in reducing SG&A. According to the report in our press release, the company significantly reduced SG&A, and that, again, contributed positively for the cash generation effort. All businesses generated positive EBITDA in Q4, except for Bathroom China segment. Despite that fact, we classify these items as non-recurring, the most important ones, on top of the cost of restructuring, because that payout has already occurred, a payout of $20 million, goodwill, $16 million. Still from the Summers acquisition back in 1997. And $127 million of impairment, fiber cement, mining, and concrete tiles. Especially the impairment, $127 million, there's no cash impact. And once we have a better economy in place, we'll be able to conclude our restructuring, and then the company will be able to revert or reverse that amount based on its profits provisions or projections rather. As a consequence, on slide 10, we had net loss of $276 million. Out of that amount, we have a list of non-recurring events. On top of the ones I've already mentioned, we have a write-off of income tax and social contribution of the company businesses. And that amounts to $23 million. But this comes from the operation itself. It's considered, therefore, recurring. But there's no cash impact. If we were to consider non-recurring, the net loss would amount to $88 million. On to slide 11. Debt. As I said, the company reduced its consolidated net debt by 41%. We are at $68, $69 million. In round numbers. When we compare to September 30th, the net debt was 73, so it's a 6.5% reduction. That reduction is pegged to two factors. Number one, the amortization. The payment the company was making of its gross debt. When you look at the gross debt line, you had a 21.6% reduction of the gross debt given the amortization following the original time frame. And we had cash above $20 million in December 31st, 2016. Because we have managed our free cash generation with a more streamlined working capital, focusing on the free cash flow generation. And then we could have this smaller net debt. Let me point out that within that debt up until December 31st, 2017, we're not including the debt of Bathroom China. Because that segment was a joint effort, was a joint undertaking, and the data was not consolidated. They were acknowledged, given the asset equivalence. Now, with that division, the company will now consolidate this data with the other businesses. And then you have a result, including the entire operation. The net debt will be bigger, therefore, but the asset, the liabilities, the entire base sales, results, everything will be bigger. The origin is half and half. Local and foreign debt. Foreign debt is tagged to Sinimpi exclusively. Products and the imports of machines and export contract to finance the SAMA's working capital. And the amortization flow is more concentrated on the short term because the biggest part of that flow is linked, is related to SAMA's. So we have the guarantee of receivables. As I've said before in other conferences, given the delinquency levels for exports and for mining, it's all zero in recent years. It doesn't necessarily mean that the company will have to have that amount of cash. So it's already linked to previous sales. Once these invoices mature, customers will be paying, and we're going to be reducing that debt. On to slide 12. Let me talk about the asbestos legal situation. In some previous slides, I've already mentioned that decision on November 29th. Our Supreme Court judged the state of Rio de Janeiro legislation. Then, during that session, they've included the erga omnes effect. So that decision for the state of Rio would be applicable to the other states of the country. From that point on, therefore, asbestos cannot be used in the country. That decision hasn't been published yet. We cannot determine when that publication will actually take place, but as soon as it's published, the entire production chain will file an appeal. Let me remind you that countries that have made similar decisions to forbid the use of asbestos, they had at least 5 years for companies to adapt. When we take into account that these countries had no mineral reserves, there was no demand for the product, and given the problems as a result of bad use of asbestos, our situation here is completely different. Despite the competition we have on this topic, there is demand for fiber cement, especially for lower income families. Workers will be unemployed because there's no risk to employees. And Brazil has mineral reserves of over 35 years of useful life. Given current production levels. So given that scenario, the industry hopes that this activity remains legal for at least some time so that we can have an organized moving away from asbestos. This is something that we have been discussing for many years. Again, once that decision is published, the industry will file an appeal, as I said. In the meantime, mining activities remain untouched, and our unit in Goiás. As to public interest, civil actions, there's nothing new as to these suits or actions. We had a decision in the state of Bahia, the former mine we had in that state. So activities were terminated according to the regulations we had back in the 70s. There was that civil action this year, and the company had to pay damages worth of $30 million for environmental issues. And the company is doing everything it can to revert those decisions. Just like in Sao Paulo, the initial demand was $1 billion and then was dropped by $100 million and then zero in higher courts. The company hopes that higher courts will revise those decisions against the company. As these decisions are published, the company will, of course, will make official announcements to the market. On to slide 13 now. This is the slide about the court-supervised reorganization. Given the activities we implemented last year, that reorganization is one of them. The objective is to ensure the continuity of the group, to maintain the interests of every stakeholder, every shareholder, and of course to protect the cash flow to mitigate operational risks. As I said, to preserve the company's continuity, its executives resorted to the reorganization to being proactive so that we could honor our financial obligations. When you look at our track record in Brazil, when companies files for a reorganization, so they are already, companies are in general in a much complicated situation. So our strategy was to be proactive to prevent major problems from happening. So, and the rationale behind it, as we saw with an economic downturn, that hit construction industry as overall, as a whole, the legal issues revolving around asbestos, which impact our operations, these issues were preventing us from getting access to lines of credit, and possible profitability issues in the future for net, gross margins, and EBITDA. Our reorganization request was approved back on April the 16th, and then it was approved in our shareholders meeting on April 11th. We have 60 days to present a plan. These are calendar days, not. And within that time frame, the company will present its reorganization plan. And we have to responsibly ensure the rights of suppliers, creditors, and shareholders. So the company will be presenting that plan within the legal time frame. As these issues emerge, of course, the company will keep the market informed, of course. On to slide 14. We decided to include this slide because this is relevant to the company. We have had the need to postpone the publication of our balance sheet. That postponement was a result of our independent auditors because they could not understand clearly the practical effects of the reorganization. So the first request was that request was to be approved by the judge because we wouldn't know and the judge could deem the request not valid. He or she could not accept it. And then the auditors went over every financial statement of the company. And they stated that the data published in our balance sheet, financial accounting data reflects the accurate situation of the company back on December 31st. But given the fact that the company is undergoing reorganization and the fact that the company hadn't yet presented a reorganization plan, so the auditors abstained from stating an opinion, especially on this issue, because they can't determine with certainty for how long that mine can be explored. So this is the auditor's opinion. But that doesn't necessarily mean that all the other data published in the balance sheet do not reflect our financial reality. They do. And they abstained from stating an opinion given this fact. That's according to their report. Once we present the plan, of course, that state of affairs will be changed. They'll state an opinion. We had our shareholders meeting on April 27th, as I said before, for a two-year term. Marcelo Gasparin da Silva, the chairman, he has been re-elected as the chairman of the board. François Moreau, Luiz Bars, Marcelo Munhoz Arique, and Rafael Munhoz Martins were also re-elected. The board was made up by five members. We now have Mr. Erechio Lerner Rodriguez and Olivier Collat. We now have a seven-member board. During the same meeting, we re-elected the members of our fiscal council for a one-year term. Henrique Funchal, Fabricio Santos, and Cristiane do Amaral. These are the three fiscal council members. They were elected in our past shareholders meeting. The balance sheet was announced last Friday. It needs to be published yet. In the following days, the company will announce an extraordinary shareholders meeting to approve our records. But this is an ordinary, a general assemblies, shareholders meeting. We couldn't do it because of the organization request. So in order to be compliant with regulations, the company will hold an extraordinary shareholders meeting yet to be announced. We'll be able to approve our statements and to be compliant with governance regulations and, of course, to meet the legislation. On slide 16, acquisition of all the shares of CSC. This is very relevant information that took place on Friday. The Eternit Group acquired its stake at CSC. So the company purchased the 40% that belonged to Corona. So that opportunity rose because of the ERJ. Now Eternit has 100% stake in the bathroom China segment. So we're now strategically positioned in that segment. The payment conditions of this operation will be established in our reorganization plan. We cannot announce those payment conditions because they will be submitted in our plan. We can pay Corona in an organized fashion and ensuring at the same time the continuity of Eternit and its creditors. Given or once we have Q1 results, the company will report consolidated data from CSC because we did not have complete ownership of the company. This is a summary on slide 17. Summary of 2017. That was the restructuring year. So we worked on several fronts to restructure the company. Most of that restructuring has already taken place. We still have some fine-tuning in 2018, but the most substantial portion of that restructuring has already taken place in 2017. So briefly, we renovated the executive board, we reduced the direct and indirect manpower, we replaced asbestos in fiber cement panels. Production will be exclusively with synthetic fiber. We redirect asbestos production to the foreign market. That's the same model adopted in Canada. Once asbestos was prohibited in Canada, they operated only for the export market for many years. That's what we aim to do. We're going to redesign our commercial department and other activities, or to increase our capacity utilization in Manaus. Again, this restructuring generated costs that amounted to $211 million in 2017. This is the significant impact we had in 2017. But again, we're preparing. That's the foundation. So that the company can go back to the positive trend, but doing it in a very organized fashion so that we can go back to profitability in every aspect, maintaining cash generation, and of course maintaining a positive bottom line. Well, these were the highlights for the teleconference. Now we move on to the Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. To remove your question, press star 2. We're still waiting for the questions. We're waiting for the first question. The first question comes from the web. Rodrigo Jose. How important it is to elect Robert Olivier Cola for the board of directors? A very experienced professional. We believe he will be very helpful. What will be his main role? Well, thank you, Rodrigo. Thank you for your question. When we choose a member for the board of directors takes into account the expertise of those applicants. I'm certain that the two new members, and of course the role of the current members, will be key to contribute to the company. That definition took place last Friday. They haven't taken office. And then we'll be able to determine the role that each one will play. Next question comes from Rodrigo Jose from Web. Last year, Mr. Chairman mentioned a spin-off possibility of SEMA and Etenich. Are you considering that for the reorganization plan? Hi, Rodrigo. Thank you again for your question. When we considered the spinoff, that was before the Supreme Court decision on November 29th. But given that decision, this operation does not make sense any longer. Hold on, please. The next question comes from Rodrigo Jose. The deadline to present the plan is in late July. Are you considering presenting that before the deadline? Well, Rodrigo, the company is aiming at concluding the plan as soon as possible because it's important for our day-to-day activities. But the company will use the legal time frame to present that plan. Hold on, please. Next question from Rodrigo Jose. Share prices are below 1 real for a month. When is the company going to revert that situation? Rodrigo, the company is trying to group shares. We're still discussing that with the board. It's been below 1 real for 30 days, so the company has a legal time frame. Once you have those 30 days, the company will soon announce to the market what we will do. But the way to address and be compliant with the B3 regulation is to group them. The way we're going to do it and the factor will be decided by the Board of Directors. Just a minute, please. Next question, Edelvino Bortolotto from Central Bank. Could you explain the outlook or the possibility of shutting down the Sama mine? What will happen after the verdict is published? Are you shutting that down or are you waiting for the appeal? Hi, this is Luis Augusto. Good morning. It's very difficult to predict what will happen at the Supreme Court. The publication of that decision can take place any time. We believe it will happen in the next 60 to 90 days. Then, and only then, you can file an appeal. The appeals will not change the decision. Cannot change the decision, we have to shut down or to stop operations rather. What we need, what we will do is to request an extension so that we can gradually shut it down. when you talk about a plant, you can request a couple of months. But for mines, the time frame is in years. In Italy, for example, their Supreme Court granted 5 years before the mine was shut down. So we believe that we're going to be granted something along the same lines. And then you start with the shutting down plan. And you allocate the provisioning of the resources to shut down and to recover the area, the entire area, because this is the consequence of shutting down a mining operation. It's not easy to forecast neither the date the decision will be published, not even how soon the appeals will be judged, because there are cases in which the appeals take more than a year. And then once the appeal is judged, I don't know how long that extension will be. We're now operating summer at a 10,000 ton a month level. 90% of that material is for exports. It is a profitable operation, generates positive EBITDA, and it contributes to the cash generation of the company, but it's very difficult to predict how long we'll be able to be operating that business unit. Next question. Rafael from Banco Amazonas. When you compare Eternit to benchmark companies, had a smaller or similar, or has this competitor had a similar reduction in sales? Thank you, Rafael, for your question. We must analyze on a segment-by-segment basis. If you take tile, fiber cement tiles only, given the Supreme Court decision, we had to stop Precon completely because it only produced using asbestos. So we cannot compare that with other fiber cement companies. If you take into account another segment, for example, there are those with higher idle time, just like in Chinaware. If you were to take away these non-recurrent items, you had a natural slowing down of the industry as overall, and tiles would have to be migrated all of a sudden given that Supreme Court decision. The company would no longer use asbestos by the end of the year, and we had to do it as soon as late last year. So the reduction in sales of Eternit was bigger, therefore. Rafael, Banco Amazonia. The total debt of Eternit is smaller, but the recurring net loss increased 10 times. Is this because of operational expenses? Rafael, yes, that is correct. We had a smaller debt. The focus was to generate free-flowing cash flow or free cash flow generation and the amortization plan according to the payment terms of every debt. The loss is bigger given the non-recurring items I mentioned. $211 million for non-recurring items only. Most of them did not impact cash, as I said. Once the restructuring takes place, this figure will be reverted. It's an accounting item, and there's no cash impact, but it did impact the company's bottom line. Next question, Carlos Enrique Castro, an investor. If you can operate the mine, what's your take about of producing asbestos for the foreign market only? Hi, Carlos. This is Luis Augusto. We are already using for exports, basically. 90% of the mine production is for exports. For fiber cement, that's the most important, especially for Southeast Asia. But still, for more technical applications in more developed countries, such as the U.S. and Germany, we export. There is one operation in Annapolis and an operation of another company, Precon, in São Leopoldo, if I'm not mistaken. They use asbestos for fiber cement. The state of Minas Gerais, for example, allows the use of asbestos by 2021. There will be some consumption in the domestic market, but it's gradually dwindling. Basically, the Sama business model is based on exports. And we are going to operate in this fashion as long as the Supreme Court allows us to. Next question, Anderson Rosado. With the price of shares going down, is the company willing to purchase its shares? Can it sell these shares later on to generate cash? Hi, Anderson. Thank you for your question. We know it's a very common practice. Companies take that opportunity to purchase these shares in their treasury. But these are companies that are not undergoing court-approved reorganizations, and they have cash flow. And some of these companies use it as a stock option plan, something that Eternity does not have. We believe that this alternative is very unlikely. Rafael Gomes, Banco da Amazônia. With negative EBITDA of 199 in 2016 and 17, does Eternit believe it's going to have positive EBITDA in 2018? Well, actually, the company or the adjusted and recurring EBITDA was positive, $43.7 million. It's negative because of the impairment items. It will impact the EBITDA as a whole. But the business units show positive EBITDA, and the reported EBITDA for the year were $43 million positive. Next question. Carlos Enrique Castro, an investor. When are you going to show or to announce Q1 2018? Well, Q1 results will be announced on May the 15th. We have some events, such as the acquisition of CSC, that will require additional work to consolidate that data. We have to have a comparable base, something we didn't do because we did not have complete ownership of the company. So the company will make that announcement by May the 15th. If that's not possible, the company will make that announcement to the market. But initially, our goal is to publish it by May the 15th. Next question, João Carlos Lanza, Mundo Invest. What are the company plans as to the court-approved reorganization for the year? Hi, João. I think we've discussed the plan before. It's just a standard plan, just like any other reorganization. Our goal is to come up with a plan that is quickly approved by creditors. We'll try to do it, just like Rodrigo said, as soon as possible. Of course, if necessary, we can use the entire 60-day time frame, but ideally is to present that plan as soon as possible to get that quick approval, if possible. Oftentimes, you see several interactions of plans going back and forth even before you get an approval. Eternit has a relatively small number of creditors with substantial amounts. We'll try to come up with a plan that will meet the needs of these creditors given our cash flow capacity to address all the issues as soon as possible. Of course, the sooner the plan is approved, the sooner we'll have a favorable situation with suppliers and everyone, and it will make our lives a lot easier. So we're deeply invested in approving that plan as soon as possible to reduce impacts as much as possible. Please hold on. Next question, Rodrigo Jose. The question is to Mr. Luis Barbosa. I've seen that the commercial department has been restructured completely and bringing in new sales representatives. When do you think you can generate more sales? By the way, I hope you are successful in your most important professional challenge. Thank you for your kind remarks. We started the commercial restructuring process as soon as I got here. The previous sales director had left. We brought in a very experienced sales professional from the construction department, the industry, Rodrigo Ignacio, and then we began to remodel the concept of our sales force. It's way more connected to production units. There was a direct link between the plant and the regional office, and we ended up drawing up a different architecture. Regional offices are connected to the sales regions, and they're not directly connected to the plant that product was produced. And then we were able to centralize the entire sales operation in one single place. We do not have a sales force by plant. So the business is managed as a whole, not separately based on a plant-by-plant basis. We also changed the profile of these professionals. We had a team that had that mental model focused on the company in the past, in which volume was the most important thing. Tails just to remove or to sell asbestos. No, that's not what we're doing. Every business unit has to be profitable, and it should not depend on the profitability of asbestos. So the cement unit has to be a profitable business unit, regardless of its verticalization of asbestos or propylene tiles, just like the Manaus unit. It has to be profitable, selling domestically or abroad. You have to have a transfer price for the market, something we did not have before. You have to have a P&L specifically for every business unit. Every business unit has to be independent and self-sufficient. Of course, we have to have a commercial team that is way more modern, focused on results, not volumes only. In order to change that, you have to replace several people, because several people could not keep track of the changes. They had been working for the company for many years with several bad habits, focusing on volume only, and they thought they could bring in volume at any cost, even hurting the profitability of that business unit. We're just concluding that process. We haven't finalized it yet. Well, I believe that most of it has been done. Regional managers have all been replaced. Just one that was still national, he was going to take over Sao Paulo. All other regional offices had its leaders replaced. And every regional manager is now setting up a new team of salesmen and representatives. We prefer to use sales representatives. We use salespeople only in those areas where you have large customers with large volumes, in which the cost of having an employee is cheaper than having a representative. But most of our sales force is made up of reps. On top of that change, we conducted specific change in the SP sales team. It's made up of basically the same tiles team. So the tiles salesman also sold Chinaware. And we believe that the profiles should be different. Those that are more trading prone, they need some office space, they have to take training programs. of those that are in the POSs helping us. So in the areas, the focus of CSC, we have a dedicated team. In other regions in which Shinerware sales is going to be marginal, we'll keep on using the Ethernet team. But CSC, we are setting up a separate sales force from that of Ethernet. The other part of your question, when we expect results to come. Results are already coming. Our sales price for fiber cement tiles has picked up when you compare to Q4 of 2017. We have managed to bring it back. We have a pricing department we didn't have before. Pricing is no longer within the commercial team. We have authorization levels to provide discounts and margins per customer, per SKU. So there are several authorization levels. Some, I am the only person that can approve it. So we can better manage prices. And that was only made possible once we conducted that commercial team change. So the first results are already showing up, especially when you take into account the better management of prices. In terms of volume, we've seen some improvements too. We show total numbers, but when you look at region level, and there are regions in which you're going back to the positive side. The global number has been impacted, as we've said, given the construction industry downturn. We're beginning to see some recoveries, but still very tight. And of course, all the limitations of our production units are faced with before the need to make that change much faster than we once expected. As we overcome these production hurdles, volumes will increase, will pick up. Next question, Rodrigo José. Is the company considering a merger so that you can gain leverage in the marketplace? Mergers and acquisition is something that is always on our radar. Ever since I joined the company, I've recently celebrated my first anniversary in the company. We've considered several opportunities. Local companies are offered to us. Some of our businesses are sought after from buyers. I've contacted two or three international groups, but these projects do not seem to be interesting. Some see asbestos as a limitation, but they want to consider that deal once we move away from asbestos. So every opportunity is, of course, analyzed. It may be postponed for one or another reason, or simply turned down because we do not have strategic or economic alignment. Of course, that right now, acquisition is more difficult because the cash need, despite the fact that you may share or exchange shares. Again, we'll keep on considering every possibility. We are a public company, as you know. We have to have those communications rules to be followed. When we reach a certain level of that process, we have to make that announcement. Of course, we're going to follow the regulations, just like we did for the 40% acquisition of CSC. Next question, Jose Marian. I'm sorry, Josue Marian. My question is about dividends. When are you going to pay them out? Hi, Josue. Thank you for your question. Dividends will be distributed as soon as the company has that legal base. Once we have that positive bottom line, we're going to pay out dividends according to its bylaws. Please hold. Next question, Rodrigo Jose. According to the balance sheet, bathroom chinaware, how much do exports of bathroom chinaware amount to the company? What are your target markets? We export about 15% of CSC. But that was done by Corona too, our partner. They owned the Central American market, Latin American market. Now that they are not partners anymore, we just don't know how much of them market. But we do know we are competitive to supply the market, especially countries in Africa, those of Portuguese language. But we're going through, for a company like that, something around 15 and 20% is very interesting. More, we would be exposed to exchange risks and market fluctuations. We don't want to expand that number very much. CSC is a somewhat small unit when we compare that to the size of the Brazilian market, for example. We can adjust our portfolio and we'll be able to direct Fortaleza's production to the domestic market. Having some exports, you can have some benchmark. You can determine whether you are price competitive or not. So it's always to compare yourself to the foreign market. But for the bathroom chinaware, it shouldn't be that big, because the margin is not very good. It helps us to reduce our fixed cost, but it's not super attractive at all. The foreign exchange rate went up. It's somewhat better, but still below the profitability we can get domestically. So there's no reason to focus too much on exports. Next question, Rodrigo Jose. The company has focused on the North and Northeast market for bathroom Chinaware. Do you think there's need or there's lack of products in that market? As soon as I joined the company and we ran that diagnosis, we had two major problems. One was efficiency in the plant, and we managed to address it last year. We have levels compatible to that of competitors, such as Roca and Deca. So we now have more better costs and more production availability. And the second issue was the commercial department. The fact we used a team focused on tiles, and they were not focused in selling Chinaware. The profile of sales reps and salesmen are different. So we ran that restructuring in the first quarter, and we were selling throughout the country. So sales were conducted by the Etony sales team. So we did not have stock in our plants, and so we're selling throughout the country. So we reorganized strategically, and it was clear to us that we do have competitive advantage, especially in northern Brazil and for some segments in northeastern Brazil. And we can only be competitive elsewhere by resorting to imported products. It does not justify, it doesn't make any sense to produce nationwide. So these imported products can be sold domestically. So it makes no difference whether you sell in Santos Southeast or in Salvador Northeast. Four products import from Fortaleza, my competitive advantage dwindles as I move away from the plant. The freight costs are just too much. That's why we have segmented the market by product category, and we have adapted. And yes, of course, we are going to concentrate in North and Northeastern Brazil. We're going to be more specific elsewhere. Is there a lack of competition? Yes. National or Brazilian companies, they're in Recife. Our plant in Fortaleza, that's the closest plant near to northern Brazil. There's a housing deficit, and of course that region makes sense. We can supply from Fortaleza with well-designed products for this segment, and then we do have a competitive advantage when you compare to competitors that are at least 800 kilometers farther away. And we're going to adopt a niche focus in other regions of the country. Next question, Edder Alves, a shareholder. Why did you purchase CSC, a company that has operational loss currently? CSC was a strategic decision. It's a company that's aligned with our strategy. We must reduce our dependence on fiber cement. It's approaching its final stages in its life. We cannot depend on fiber cement to ensure the future of the company. So Chinaware has a very strategic element. Why did we purchase that company? We, of course, have lens to turn things around. The company was high in debt because of the first years of operation of their plant. We believe the company can become profitable starting now. Our reorganization has given us the opportunity to purchase this company by this partial amount. Price adjustments can only occur later in the future. So these are very favorable conditions. A company that can become profitable pretty soon. Next question, Rodrigo José. Do you have any plan to reactivate CDs that were closed down last year? Hi, Rodrigo. We are a public company. We cannot announce everything we're doing before we have that formal approvals. We sold some real estate from Tegula. They're idle. They could be sold to help us generate cash. But these amounts are not substantial. We have shut down some operations, but we kept the equipment. These operations may be resumed if the market recovers. We can see some timid results. We may resume that in the future, but we do have room in Atibaia. We can only do that once Atibaia is at its full capacity. Some units that operated in more difficult scenarios or segments, but we may resume activities in a couple of others. Since there are no further question, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Rodrigo Luz for his closing remarks. Thank you for attending this conference. I believe it was a very productive meeting so that you can better understand the current scenario and the future outlook for the company. In conclusion, I would like to say that the company will keep on operating in an organized fashion, following the rules, the deadlines, discussing the reorganization plan. Thank you once again. And I hope to see you in our next conference in which we'll announce Q1 of 2018. Thank you very much. This concludes Internet's conference call. Thank you. Have a good day.